You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coach Unplugged is brought to you by great people over at teachhoops.com. For coaches who want to get better. From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. Here is your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Part three. You can tell how much fun I was having talking to Rick on these podcasts. But this is brought to you by the great people over at teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. I think this has been one of the special interviews for me. There's going to be some great tidbits in here. Rick's going to share some stuff with you on the stretch here in the fourth quarter, if we can say that. So go over and check it out. Make sure you subscribe and like. And
yeah, here, right. I hate to keep going back to reinteract, yeah. But you know how easy that is.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that should be happening almost organically.
Yes, it should be. Yeah.
Because they're making the moment-by-moment decisions out there. You're right. Just kind of adding the big stuff.
Yes.
You know? Really?
What would you tell a young coach if they wanted to get into coaching?
I would tell them, well, first of all, the mentor thing.
Yep.
Second of all, I would be very careful about just taking a job for taking a job. Now, sometimes you do, but I understand that. But you need to hit your wagon to someone that you can learn from.
Right.
Now, that was a mistake I made. I came out of college and lucked up, took the highest classification in Tennessee, size school.
Wow.
And I took the head job.
Right out of college? Wow.
Yeah. Right out of college. And you know what I'm thinking. You know what I'm thinking? I'm 23. What do you think?
You're going to win a state title? Is what?
Absolutely.
You
think. Well, of course, they know.
I know more than everybody.
Someone who appreciates my knowledge of the game. They know I don't need an assistant. You know, you're young at that time. But I know how to play. I must know how to coach. And just got my head handed to me. Holy cow!
Yeah.
So I started trying to surround my assistants were coaches that were back in those days. They were coaches that had been former head coaches getting close to retirement. That's who I was surrounding myself with.
Your circle yeah. is really important. I tell people your circle and you can see, I mean, be a student of the game. These are basketball books. They're not basketball books, but you know, there's John Gordon books, but I mean, there's all sorts of good books back here.
Well, that'd be the second thing. You just stole it from me is that, I coached it. Well, it wasn't until about 1988 that I, when I moved to Atlanta, I decided that, you know, something, Rick, you've been trying it your way based on experience and your playing days and all that kind of stuff. And let's face it, I'm basically doing most of the stuff that my high school or college coaches did.
Right. That's what you do. Yeah.
That's what you do, right? Oh, gosh.
My high school coach ran the flex. Guess what my first offense was?
You're saying I should expect different results just because it's me doing it?
Right. Yeah.
Come on. Right. So when I moved to Atlanta, I made a pact with myself that I was going to pretend that I knew nothing about the game and ask myself this question. If you did know nothing about the game, what would you do? And you're about to coach. What would you do? Well, you would take a look. First of all, figure out who the best teachers of the game are and become absolute disciples of them.
Yes.
Just absolute. So at that point, for me, it was convenient to go to David Lipscomb in Nashville. Don Meyer.
Oh, you don't have to tell me about Don Meyer. Oh, my God. I still find you'll laugh at this. The people are listening, but I still find like, you know, he used to hand out all those things in different colors.
I've got notebooks. You want to go bring my notebooks?
I swear to God. I know. And I still find them. I find them at school. It's like, oh, there's one of that. I mean, there's a guy that changed the game too.
Oh, didn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't he? And so I went to, he had a clinic that you had to pay for in the spring, and then he had a free one in the fall. I went to 22 clinics in a row before I missed one.
That's crazy.
11 straight years I didn't miss with him. And it's not that I was polyparroting him, because I couldn't.
Right.
I mean, he would recruit, you had to be able to shoot a three.
Right.
Or you had to have All-American potential in the post.
Right.
That's about it. That's about it.
And the thing is, I think that's a good point you just made there is, and this is an educational thing. You want to take all this knowledge and put it in, and then you have to pick what's going to fit you.
Oh, yeah.
And I've said this, I've told this story. I was under 7 head coaches before I got my first job. Yeah. And because I've been successful because of those 7 people, because I took a little piece of each one of them and I said, ooh, I like that. Ooh, I like that. Ooh, I like that. And then there's no other, Jay Wright. There's one Jay Wright. There's one Bobby Knight. There's one Coach K. So you have to be your own person.
Boy, that's good. That's a Don Meyerism right there. Yeah. Be who you are. You can't be anybody else.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I would also, advise young coaches or anybody coming into the game that just get used to the thought that no one's going to love it as much as you do. No one's going to be as dedicated to it as you do. You're going to run across a gym here and there, but if you're in high school or youth, you are a small part time-wise of these kids' days and everything that they got going on. Okay. And now I think you are more impactful than anybody else in the entire day.
Well, and a point that I make to all the young coaches, I've said this 1,000 times, I'll say this 1,000. I do not want to be a kid's last coach.
Right. Oh, that's excellent.
I don't want to be especially if I'm a youth coach, I don't want to be their last basketball coach, because if I'm their last basketball coach, it means they stopped.
Right.
I don't want to be the last coach. I want to be part of that journey along the line for them.
Right. Well, now, see, I'm going to turn this back on the Reading Rack, but this is the things you're going to, the things you're covering right now were motivating factors in creating the Reading Rack, because I coached negatively many years,
Bobby Knight, baby. It's a Bobby Knight era.
Look, you can get results from negative reinforcement. You just can't build long-term relationships with that. You just can't.
No.
And you cannot recruit the energy and creativity from players that way. It just being making it miserable,
Right.
And so, when you were talking about helping them with their decisions, see, again, I wanted to sell Read and React, not, let's take something like passing.
Right.
Okay. I didn't want to, all my coaching life, it was, I need you to pass and share the ball to be a good teammate. Come on, right?
Right. Yeah.
And in the Reading React, and of course you're fighting when I say that, you're having to fight at the same time you want a player to be aggressive, take what the defense gives, and yet you want them to share the ball. Do you hear the contradiction in my voice? I mean, what?
Right.
You hear this contradiction in this message?
Right.
How does a kid decide, should I run the play or should I, you know, no one's between me and the goal. Should I take it and go? I mean, what? Right. If I turn it over, coach is going to, you know, yank me for not running the play. There's problems there. I wanted to be able to say, look, I want you to pass because a couple of things. I only want you to pass if you can't beat this guy. And if you can't beat the guy, we're going to give you a chance at scoring the moment you pass. You're going to be our first option.
Right.
And so I think that's a lot more positive and will recruit his energy than to say, just be a good teammate and share the ball. I know what share the ball means. It means you don't want me to shoot and you want Joe over here to shoot.
Right.
You know? Well, I didn't want to do that. Well, now, if that's not good enough, then I want to tell him, look, you are much better. I am going to show you how to get your shot without the ball.
Right.
So when you hit the lane, I want you – and here we go with everything else in the read and react.
And you work on showing – on how to show on the cuts? Do you teach them, you know –
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, just like you would a post player. Think about this. Don't you tell players in the post, look, show the ball your numbers.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Hands up, out, elbows out, show them your numbers. And you tell the passer, don't throw it to them if you don't see that, right?
Right.
If you don't see their hands being an eager – hey, point guard college, being an eager receiver, right?
Right. Yeah, yep. Happy hands. Yep.
Happy hands. Well, same way on your cuts. I'm not going to throw it to someone who's not showing me their numbers. They're eager receiver, peppy hands.
Right, right.
But I told you a moment ago I wanted to make a point about the cutting, okay?
Okay.
Just want you to think about this. I'm going to do a whole new course on how to teach the read and react from this standpoint. I want to ask you something. You're fresh off of the tournament, the NCAA tournament, right?
Right.
You saw all kinds of great set plays, okay? So, all right, so those things that run them, right? So let me draw a picture in your mind. There's just been transition, and they didn't score. The offense didn't score. Now the ball's come back into the point guard, the playmaker's hands, right? Okay, now the other four players, they've got to get open, right?
Right. Yep.
So where do they go?
They stay wide.
Huh?
They go to the spots. They stay wide for the most part in the NCAA.
Yeah. Now, okay, but if they're going to get open on the screen.
Right.
Okay, where are they going to go? Okay, if you're going to get open by yourself or something like, or if that ball handler is going to, say, take a ball screen, yeah, they're all going to spread out.
Right.
If he's not going to take a ball screen, they all go down towards the lane.
Right.
And they start setting screens or for someone to run off of a screen to come out.
Yeah.
You can see almost every NBA set.
Yeah, all that's like screen, yeah.
They go there first so they can break out to get open.
Right.
If they're going to come off of screens.
Yep.
If you're not going to do the ball screen thing.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
The high ball screen thing. High ball screen thing, you're exactly right. They're all going to go out on the perimeter.
Right.
If not, if you're going to get a down screen, if you're going to come off of a double, so everybody starts going to the lane. So one of the reasons that you always cut after you pass in the read and react is I need to get you in the lane so that you can get open.
Right.
For the next action,
right,
okay?
Right.
You'd be, if we were calling a step play, you'd probably be going down there anyway.
Right, yeah. Okay?
So you cut down there. Now, you can either get open on your own. That's called filling out for us, right?
Right, yep.
Or you could screen for a perimeter player, or you could use a screen if someone's in the lane, a post player or another cutter, or you could set them a screen and then, you know, work to get open off of it, or you do, you know, if there's a post and another cutter, there's a double staggered for you to get open. What I'm saying is, Steve, I could teach the entire read and react, every layer, every action, from a standpoint of you're in the lane, you got to get open.
When you're in the lane.
When you're in the lane and you don't have the ball, you now got to get open. Don't you want to get open? Don't you want the ball to go one-on-one?
Right. And then how long do you let them stay in the lane?
That depends on them.
Okay.
There's that depends. I'm not,
I mean, because my guys tend to stay too long. Like, we have a 3 second rule.
Well, now, okay, so now we're talking about purpose of your cut. Now, that's what I want to talk about. If you're trying to get open to get the ball again on the perimeter, you're not going to spend time wandering around down in the lane.
Right.
They'll throw the ball to somebody else.
Right.
Get your feet wet and then get out of there with purpose to an open spot with eager receiver hands. And, you know, is it off of the screen or are you going to go screen to get yourself open? You know, and I mean, it will tell you what your next action should be.
Right. Right.
Use it.
Okay. Perfect. All right. I got tons more. All right. So now we're going to end with my rapid fire. So I'm going to ask you a question. You get one answer.
Oh, I'm horrible at this.
Okay. Okay. You get one answer. All right. Ready?
Yep.
One word to describe your ideal player.
Oh, God. I am horrible at this. Teachable.
Ooh, I like that. All right. What's your favorite basketball? And what I mean by is like Spalding, you know, Rock, that kind of stuff.
Oh, see, I've forgotten what they call this. The soft touch with the high ridges. Who makes that?
Oh, that's not Wilson, is it?
No. High ridges.
It's not is it the Rock?
I want to say that, yeah.
Okay, The Rock. Kids like The Rock a lot. All right, if you could go to one sporting event in the entire world, what would it be?
Oh, gosh, man. One sporting event?
Yep.
Well, it's just, for me, it's got to be. Well, all right.
Hey, Coach, I hope you're enjoying listening to this. You can tell in my energy when I was talking to Rick how much I enjoyed it. Hope you're enjoying it too. If you are, I would ask that you maybe go subscribe, like, leave a review. We would really appreciate that. Also, if you're wanting to give back a little bit, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. I can't imagine a better time to go become a better basketball coach. This is the time that I do that. This is the time that I do my reading and try to broaden my horizons. I would think you'd want to do the same. So go over and check it out. 14-day free trial, teachhoops.com. Here's Rick.
Well, all right. It's got to be the NCAA finals.
Okay. Okay? I've been.
Yeah. My second's got to be, say, maybe every other basketball final, NBA, WNBA, women's, and if it's outside of basketball, the UFC.
Oh, really? Okay. That's cool. All right, what's your favorite pregame meal?
Very little.
Oh, that's good. Brendan said free. That was pretty funny. That was the funniest. That was the funniest one we've had.
I'm better on almost an empty stomach.
I tell the players, I said, and there's been studies on this. You're better to be a little hungry than to be full when you play.
I need as much blood supply going in my brain. I don't need it down there digesting.
All right, yeah. One thing you do to relax.
The one thing I do to relax is, wow. See, I was going to say some form of a workout.
Okay.
It helps me to relax.
Okay. Best player you've seen in person.
Best player I've seen in person. Oh, remember I told you I went to, we got Mike Bibby for my first DVD.
Yep.
We went out to video him, and I got to see LeBron James' first NBA game, Sacramento Kings.
No.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep. I think that was his – I know that was his first year. I thought that was his first game, but I'm not sure. But, yeah, I got to see him. I'm there on the court.
I haven't seen him in person. All right, best player of all time.
Yeah. Holy, man. And I can only say one?
Mm-hmm. That was a lot harder for Coach Sir than it was for you because he saw a lot of really good players.
Oh, yeah. All right, I'm going to cheat on this. I'm going to go ahead and say it's Michael Jordan.
Yeah, Michael's winning by about 95%. You feel good about that, Michael.
95% of the time, but I have to throw out some people. I mean, I got you got to talk about people like – Pete Maravich or Rick Barry or
my high school coach said Bob Cousy.
Right.
What's
well, Rick Barry, you know, you think about Rick Barry, 30, the only guy to lead the NCAA, ABA, and NBA in scoring.
I know.
And most of the, not the ABA, but the others was without a 3-point line. So you're talking about 36, 37 points a game.
I know. It's crazy. And then I don't even know if the players know that the NBA logo is him, right?
Is it him?
It's him. I think it's him.
Is it him or Jerry West? I don't know.
Oh, it might be Jerry West. Is it Jerry West? It was one of the two. I knew it was one of the two.
Hey, but let me say one more. Back when you said best player that I've seen.
Yeah.
But look, I got to be on the floor. I mean, within touching distance and playing with them in a camp. Dave Bing.
No.
You remember Dave Bing?
I do. I do.
Yeah. Dave Bing.
I was telling Brendan, I saw when I was at, well, we were talking about how it used to be with Five Star and Blue Chip, those two camps.
Yeah.
That when I went to Blue Chip, I got to see Akeem Olajuwon play Larry Bird one-on-one.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Oh. If it was nowadays, we'd all had our phones out and stuff. What's one thing that helped you become a better coach? One thing that helped you become a better coach.
One thing to help.
One thing that's made you a better coach or helped you become a better coach.
My time in, no, I can't say that. It has to be that I've been following Jesus Christ for a long time, since 1979.
Okay.
And the idea of a servant leadership, a servant leader being the best type of leader has kind of kept my head on straight.
Yep.
That kind of thing.
It's giving you a guide. Yep.
Yes.
Best game you've seen in person.
Best game I saw in person.
It can be any level. We've had anywhere from a high school game to an NBA final.
The best one that I saw in person was 75, 76. And it was Western Kentucky University, Western Kentucky Hilltoppers against Middle Tennessee State University for the OVC. I don't know if it was for their championship. Now it was at, I'm pretty sure it was at Western.
Okay.
It was just I was close to the floor and the thing.
It was just one of those things.
It was just one of those great games. Yeah.
Okay. One word that describes your coaching style.
Passionate.
Okay. Top bench player of all time.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like I'm pulling. I really feel like I'm pulling teeth, Coach. I'm sorry.
You are pulling teeth. I told you, I am the world's worst at the best bench player of all. Oh, hey, how about the kid from
Villanova?
Villanova. Yeah, what's his name? It's
Yeah. Okay, we'll go with that. Well, best coach of all time.
30 points in the finals?
Come on. Crazy. Hey, but there's a prime example, especially for the young coaches out there. They dug up his tweets from when he was 13 or 14. He's been taking heat for that. Can you believe that?
Get out of town.
No, yeah. You go on USA Today. There's a big article about it today. Yeah. There's some, he was 13. He's making some bad decisions, saying some things he shouldn't say, and oh, yeah, they're digging it up. It's out there forever. All right, best coach of all time.
Best coach of all time. Don Meyer.
He'd be on my list. One book you would recommend. That would be for me.
Yeah, what? I know. And the only reason I say him over John Wooden is I knew more about him. That's all. Go ahead. What?
Yeah. One book you'd recommend.
For
anything.
For
it can be any book. I mean, that you would recommend someone read. It's been everything. We've had everything.
Okay. Well, I've already
More
for a coach.
What was the one that Brendan gave? He was like some sort of leadership one. I don't even remember.
Yeah, that was a very good one. But the one I can't even remember the name of it. It's over here. It's by John Wooden, Little Blue Jacket. I keep coming back to it and reading it over and over again.
Oh, I know what the one you're talking about. I'll find it and put it in the show notes. Yeah. I'll find it. Then what was my last one? Oh, one thing you would tell a young coach in parting as we kind of end here.
As we kind of end.
Some advice.
Teach. Let that be the tagline, under your name. Let that be what the kids say about you when it's all said and done, that that this was one of the best, if not the best teacher that I've been under. And that will cover, that's a big umbrella. Notice I didn't say teacher of the game.
Right.
Because basketball is life in four quarters, and the chances to impact and teach life lessons and how to respond and just about everything that you're going to come across later in life. Don't miss that opportunity to teach. Basketball is just kind of a tool.
It is. Okay. So let's, on a parting note, I want to talk about Better Basketball and where people can find it and the all access. Now I'm getting, this is like PGC for me. I am a disciple. I love Better Basketball. I love Read and React. So I'm not, there's no financial aspect to this, but I'm going to give Coach some time to talk about what's available and what I've been able to do over, the last probably 5 to 10 years for me. Go ahead, Coach.
Well, you finally given me a question that I can answer without. Sounds like you're pulling my fingernails out. I'm the world's worst at in fact, you can notice, I think I sent you an email. I said, look, just don't start asking me about the draft and about this. And about
right.
Because I don't keep up with it. In fact, when I watch games, I wind up watching the what offenses, defenses, movement, spacing kind of thing, and I don't.
Yeah, I know people ask why I don't watch as much. I don't watch as much NCAA because the only way I can watch it is if I'm just kind of doing something else. Because otherwise, I'm looking and I'm jotting stuff down. It's like the enjoyment is like I can't do that.
right.
But yeah, right. Go tell the people about all access and all that. That's a great deal for people, I think.
It is, yeah. So we at betterbasketball.com. If you go to betterbasketball.com, you'll see the homepage is pretty easy to follow. You're going to see things like the vault. That's just where we hold all the videos I've done in the last 16 years. And you're going to see all access. There's a chance for you to kind of explore around. But let me give you the bottom line here. I got about 1,500 videos. I think it's I don't know how many hours that is. I've forgotten now. But like I say, I've been doing this now since 2001.
So you said, and the thing you sent me, it said 1,500 videos totaling 140 hours of instruction of coaches and players.
Yep. It is. It's not just now. Yes, the Read and React has become the locomotive, the engine that pulls the train.
Right.
Okay. But I've got quite a bit of stuff there on player development. There's a lot that I'm going to go back and redo and attack and that kind of thing. But you were talking about all access.
Right.
A few years ago, we noticed, when you get a certain amount of videos on there, a new coach comes on, let's say they buy the Read and React, okay? Well, I'm also wanting him or her to watch the practice videos, you know,
right.
The one-day practice, and then, developing the Read and React player. That's a player development one, you know? And I'd also like them to watch this and that. And it's like, gee whiz, I got to make this easy and financially easy.
Right, right. Yep.
And so we came up with an all-access pass, which is $249 a year.
Right.
And for that, you get to watch everything that's in there. And I don't think people take this in consideration. And anything new that comes out.
Right.
It's just automatically in the library. You'll get notified that something new's coming. You know, I just put 64 three-player drills in there.
Okay.
In the vault,
which is the best way to teach the game for anybody that's listening. Yeah. It should, until they're like 10, they should all be playing 3-on-3, but go ahead. Yeah.
And I'll be adding another 50 drills here, hopefully by June or something like that. So pretty soon there's going to be about 114 brand new drills in there. But if you're an all access member, you're just going to get an email saying, hey, here's what's new in here. Make sure you don't overlook it.
Right.
And,
it's Netflix. You're giving them Netflix.
Yes, it is. And you know, if you were to buy two courses, say the Read and React and something else, you've already spent more.
Right.
Than you would have spent in all access.
Yeah. So it's a better deal. Well,
yeah.
I really, two things, Coach. First of all, I thank you so much. I hope to do this again at some point. And you have won the record for the longest. This is going to have to be two podcasts. You have won the record. I think you and I could have talked forever.
Well, we could. I enjoyed this.
I did.
You're really good at this, and I'm not, as you can tell.
Oh, you're awesome at this. Are you kidding? You're great. It's truthful. Read and React has been awesome for our program and helped in our success. And you've really made a difference in the game. So we really appreciate that.
I appreciate that. Thanks. If I can help coaches, that's all. That's, everyone defines what success is, right?
Right, yeah.
I'm only successful if you are, so.
All right, thanks, Coach. All right, this is, we don't very often have three podcasts in a week. Sometimes we're going to go back and forth between two and three podcasts in a week, kind of depending how things kind of fall. But definitely when there's a long interview like this, and I feel like I want to definitely break it up so people can find the stuff that they need, we're going to do that. If you have any questions, please let us know. Go over and subscribe and like. We would really, really appreciate that. We'll have all of Rick's stuff down in the show notes if you have any questions for him or for me. And then go over and check out teachhoop.com for coaches who want to get better. Thanks.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.